So with that, let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 12 for our reading here this morning. And I'm going to read verses 20 through 26 as we go through the New Testament here in 2019. We're almost done. We only got a few more weeks left. And I am in John, the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I am starting at chapter 12, starting at verse number 20. I'm going to read 20 through 26. I hear pages turning. That's a good thing. If you have your place in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning for the gospel reading, starting in verse number 20. And I read out of an NIV translation. It says this: "Now, there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. 'Sir,' they said, 'we would like to see Jesus.' Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. And Jesus replied, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me.'" We'll stop right there. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray for the reading, for this gospel message here this morning. I pray, Lord, that the truths that are contained here in the scripture will be revealed to all of us here this morning. Father, that when we walk out of here today, we're going to learn a little bit more about these seven verses than what we knew before we come on in. We thank you for the transformation that you do in our lives through your word. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated here this morning. I've titled today's message here this morning, "But If It Dies." Now, that might seem like a rather peculiar title for a sermon message. If what dies? If who dies? And what needs to die? And those are the words out of the NIV that Jesus spoke. He says this: "But if it dies." So let's unpack these seven verses here this morning and answer those questions. What is Jesus and who is Jesus talking about? In verse number 20, it says that some Greeks were there at the feast to worship. Now, I'm going to put a word up here. It's kind of a new word in our vocabulary. Maybe you've heard it before. The word is proselyte. What is a proselyte? A proselyte is a new convert to a faith. More than likely, these Greeks that were there at the feast were Greeks, and they were converted into Judaism at one point in time. So they were converted to Judaism, and now being obedient to the Mosaic law, to all the Jewish law, they show up at the festival because that is what they were to do. So they wanted to be obedient, so here they are, and they just want an audience with Jesus. Well, let's talk about this for a little bit. It says that they were at the festival, at the feast. What feast were they at? At that time of year, they were at the Passover feast. A very common Jewish feast. Jewish people still celebrate Passover today. And let's remember that this event in John chapter 12 is happening in the final week of the life of Jesus. In a couple days, Jesus is going to be nailed to a cross and crucified. Well, it appears, if we just read the text, it appears that Jesus does not show any immediate concern for these interested Greeks. They want an audience with Jesus. Could he just answer their question? It doesn't come out and say, and then Jesus spoke to the Greeks and said this. It doesn't say that. It's kind of more of a general statement that he replies. And his reply is this. He's now focused, because it is going to happen in a couple days, he's now focused more on his death and glorification, which would happen after he resurrects. But what does he say in verse 23 and beyond? He is saying what he says in those verses. He is saying to everyone that's there. Certainly he's responding to the Greeks that are there. And in a way, he's really responding to us too. Because sometimes we would like to have an audience with Jesus. And it is this response of Jesus is where we're going to focus the message here this morning. He talks about a kernel of wheat falling to the ground and dying. Now, I found this really nice picture on Google search here this morning. What point is Jesus trying to make using this figure of speech, talking about a kernel of wheat that has to fall to the ground? Well, in this picture that I found doing my Google search here this past week, we see three things. First, we see a hand that is out, and in this hand is holding some kernels of wheat right there. We see that. And in below, we see more kernels of wheat, but we also see here some wheat stalks. Now, let's connect what we see in this picture to what Jesus is telling everybody here in John chapter 12. Well, if we know anything about farming and planting, which I know very little, okay? I know very little. As a matter of fact, I had to ask my wife some questions this past week about farming, okay? But that's okay. I don't claim to know everything about everything. So luckily, she explained it to me. We know that in order to get a wheat stalk, we need to plant a wheat seed, a wheat kernel. A wheat kernel sitting on the table by itself can do absolutely nothing. Nothing. So in order to produce wheat stalks, one must plant a wheat kernel, a wheat seed, into the cold, dark ground. And over time, got another picture up here, and over time, we know that with the assistance of sunlight and water, eventually a green sprout will appear, then the blade, then the plant, then the stem, and finally a head comes out on the wheat stalk. Now, hopefully I am right in my description, because that's kind of, was I right? Is that right? Does that sound good? So, all you farmers out there, was I good? If Kay Campbell says it's okay, then I know I'm all right. You put the seed in the ground, you water it, you let the sunlight hit it, you let it grow, and that's what it turns out to be. And at last, where does all this turn? Well, there's a really nice picture. I really like that picture. At last, it turns golden. The harvest has come, and you are right back to the beginning again. The wheat stalks produce their own kernels, which you can plant back in the ground again, and the cycle begins again. So now we know a little bit about agriculture if we didn't before. We know a little bit about the life cycle of wheat. So why does Jesus use what we just learned about the life cycle of wheat as something that these Greeks and others present needed to hear? Why is he using this analogy? We know this. Let's keep this in the background. And the answer to that is going to be twofold here this morning. First, he is speaking of himself. Jesus himself is the kernel of wheat that must fall into the ground. He, Jesus, is the kernel that must die. If he does not, then he's like the kernel of wheat that just sits on a table all by itself. Nothing happens. But there is a far greater plan out there. And I'm sure the people present that day were not aware of it, at least at that time. But the far greater plan that we are aware of is something called the plan of salvation. And just like in the Old Testament, where the Jews needed to bring an unblemished lamb to the temple or to the tent of meeting or wherever they sacrificed, they brought that animal to be sacrificed to die for the forgiveness of their sins. That's how their sins were atoned for back in the Old Testament. So what do we know about today, the New Testament? In the New Testament, God himself is presenting his lamb, which John the Baptist would call the Lamb of God, to be sacrificed, to die, for the forgiveness of sins, for anyone who believes and trusts in him, whoever believes in the trust in Jesus' sacrifice. And that's people like you and I. We no longer have to bring a lamb to a temple or to a church or any place. The sacrifice has already been made, and his name is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is that little kernel, and he must go into the ground, so to speak. Jesus must die, because there is a plan of salvation, and Jesus will fulfill that plan of salvation. But if he dies, the name of the message, but if he dies, he produces many seeds. He produces something that will later be called the church, to which there will be stalks of wheat, just like that. And those stalks of wheat are people, just like me, and just like you, and just like anybody who calls upon the name of the Lord. The kernel has been planted into the ground, and we are the wheat stalks that have come up. And that is why Jesus refers to his chosen, the saved, the elect, as wheat. And I have two different scripture verses up here, one from Matthew 3, verse 12, and one from Matthew 13, verse 25. And he makes a comparison here. And in both cases, wheat is referred to his own, his chosen, his people, the church. Example number one, Matthew 3, 12. His winnowing fork is in his hand. And these are actually the words of John the Baptist. And he's talking about Jesus, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat, us, into the barn, into eternal life, and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Chaff. From what I understand, that's all the stuff that kind of falls off of the stalks of wheat. You don't need that. You just need the wheat. So he's gathering us, the wheat, into the barn. Where's the barn? Eternal life. Praise God. Isn't that good news? Amen. Good. Let's talk about the second one. Matthew 13, 25. Now, these are the words of Jesus when he's given a parable. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And we know in that parable, he's talking about the fact that a farmer plants a field and he plants wheat, right? Which is us. But sometimes tares are planted among the wheat. And the tares, some Bible translations will use the word weeds, planted weeds. But we know this. Anytime he uses tares or weeds or chaff, he's always talking about the negative, the evil one. But anytime he talks about wheat, he's always talking about his own, people like us, the church. Now, as I said earlier, there was a twofold answer why Jesus uses the life cycle of wheat as something that these Greeks and others present needed to hear. And we have already explained that. So the first reason is he, Jesus, is the kernel of wheat that goes into the ground and must die. So we've explained that. But there is a second reason. There's a second thing that we need to look at. Romans 8:28. I'm going to go to Romans. Everybody knows Romans 8:28. How many of us know Romans 8:29? So I have them both up here for you. And we know, Romans 8:28, that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We've all heard that verse a lot of times. A great verse. But let's look at what's after that. Because this is the purpose for us, for the wheat. For those God foreknew, he also predestined what? To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Jesus Christ was the firstborn. And what does that make us? What does that make us as the wheat? To be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, so that Jesus can have many brothers and sisters. A kernel of wheat has the potential to reproduce itself. We know that. And this passage from Romans is talking about believers, the saved. Jesus is reproducing himself. Now, granted, none of us are perfect. We know that. We're never going to walk as perfect as Jesus did. But we are on a mission, and that is called the sanctification process. And that mission is this: to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And that is the purpose of our salvation. So if we are being conformed into the image of Jesus, then we, as believers, must walk like Jesus did. And that means we too must die in a certain sort of way. And let me explain that. We must become that kernel that also dies. But our death is not like that of Jesus. We're not going to be put on a cross and hung there as a sacrifice for other people. No, we're not going to die in that way. But we do experience a symbolic crucifixion in which we die. And we have one fill in the blank in our bulletins here this morning. And it would be this. There's two words that we put in there. And I got them both from Galatians chapter 2 and chapter 5. And the fill in the blank would say this. The words of Paul: we have been crucified with Christ, and we have crucified the flesh. Okay? He uses the word crucified. Now, if you're familiar with crucifixion is an instrument of what? Death. Torture, and ultimately death. It's an instrument of death. Therefore, as children of God, because that's what he says we are, as believers, as the result of the kernel Jesus that has died, Galatians 2:20 tells us that we no longer live. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. What does that mean? That I no longer, well, yes, I do. Here I am. Of course I'm living. I'm standing here in front of you, and you're there too. Of course we live. But it means that we are no longer masters of our lives. Christ lives in us, and he is now the master of our life. The old has gone, and the new has come. The old Mike symbolically has died. The old Mike no longer lives, because it is now Christ that is living in me. And that's the symbolism there given with crucifixion in Galatians 2:20. But there's another verse there. Galatians 5:24 says this: those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Ooh, now there's a mission that we all need to be on. Where we once pursued selfish pleasures, selfish ambition, we now pursue, as new creations in Christ, we pursue with equal passion that which pleases God. In other words, in order to do that, the old Mike had to die. The old Cindy had to die. The old Glenn had to die. The old you has to die. We die to self. It is no longer us that lives, but Christ that lives in us. And that's why Jesus makes the statement that he makes in John chapter 5, verses 25 and 26. He says this, and we read this earlier: if you want to serve me, Jesus says, you must follow me. And to follow me, to follow Jesus, means your life, my life, is no longer about you. It's no longer about me. You no longer love your old life any longer. Rather, Jesus says, you hate your old life. You must die to that old life, Jesus says. Why? Because you are a new creation in Christ. We might be in the world, but we no longer love the world and its worldly desires. I'll say it again. The old has gone, by old Mike, and the new has come. Say hello to the new Mike. It's pretty simple, folks. It's really pretty simple. A kernel of wheat sitting on a table produces nothing. Nothing. A kernel of wheat sitting on a table produces nothing. Nothing. A kernel of wheat which goes into the ground and dies produces many seeds, produces many stalks of wheat. And as our Savior has died, if we desire to be a follower of Christ, then we must die to self too. It's no longer about us. It's all about giving God the glory. So I'm going to put the slide back up here. I just love that picture. I love that picture. Kind of see the sun shining in the background, and we look golden and we look so good there. Those standing around that day, in John chapter 12, would not have understood at that time exactly what Jesus meant by those words, because nothing had been done yet. He hadn't been crucified. He hadn't been resurrected. He hadn't ascended. But we understand. We are New Testament Christians, New Testament people, and we have the luxury of having the Word of God right here in our hand. We are those beautiful stalks of wheat that have been produced only because one kernel of wheat chose to die for all who would believe. Praise God. I almost hate to say this, but it's biblically true. Praise God for the death of Jesus. Because the death of Jesus gave us forgiveness of our sins and paved the way for eternal life. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer.